Hey everybody, this is Ryan Geelan, creative director at Believe Limited and a co-founder of both Believe and Bloodstream Media. It's World Hemophilia Day and we are honoring our commitment to raise awareness around the world by launching a few new programs and updating long-running programs. Instead of jamming all of this info into a monthly episode of Bloodstream, we wanted to bring you this special episode where you can hear directly from the incredible artists, producers, and educators who are helping us craft and grow each of the projects we're going to talk about. Some of these projects are awesome podcasts you can download for free. Some of these are awesome videos you can watch for free. Some of these are awesome events you can attend for free. Noticing a theme? Everything we build for the bleeding disorders community is and always will be free. So this episode won't be the usual Bloodstream length, but we do have a lot of cool info for community members to squeeze in. So let's jump in. Happy listening. Hey, so Heather.
Hi.
What project are you working on for Believe?
Yeah, so I have been extremely lucky over the last few months to direct and produce the Empowering Women podcast, which is part of our Bloodstream Stories series.
Excellent. And what is Empowering Women?
Empowering Women is a three-part podcast series. We were lucky enough to spend a weekend at the Empowering Women with Bleeding and Clotting Disorders retreat in Texas back in September. And it's basically a deep dive into that event and then also tracing kind of how that event has evolved over the last 20 years. It was one of the first of its kind back when it started. And so we just explored that and we explored its successes and the things that make it unique, the things that make it really stand out.
And so the series is three parts, 90 minutes, basically an audio documentary to really bring people into the powerful experience of being there.
Absolutely, yeah. And then also kind of examining from a more zoomed out perspective what it means to empower women and the pieces of empowerment that this retreat especially sort of hits on, I think, are uniting women, because women come from eight states all through the Great Plains region. Believing women, this is a place where these women can come and be believed about their diagnoses, their experience, and then to see how uniting and believing women leads to empowering women and how those pieces are steps along this sort of same path of empowerment for women in the bleeding and clotting disorders community.
So those are kind of the headlines of the three episodes?
Exactly. And those are even the titles of the three episodes. So episode one is Uniting, episode two is Believing, and episode three is Empowering Women.
Where do you think some of these women would be without the retreat?
I think they would be incredibly isolated. A lot of them come from extremely rural regions. And one of the special things about this retreat is that it completely funds every single woman who wants to come. It can give travel vouchers. They put them up for no money, completely free. Food, everything is included. And so it allows women that, you know, are in very rural areas, can come from a very far distance without taking money away from, you know, other areas that they need to, you know, in their lives. A lot of these women are caregivers for their entire family. So for them to have to come up with a few hundred dollars to go on this retreat would mean a lot. And the fact they don't have to do that, I think, allows them to come and have a weekend just for themselves. And that's huge. So I think that without it, they would feel a lot more isolated.
Yeah, which, you know, if you're listening to Bloodstream and in any one of our podcasts, you know that isolation equals poor outcomes.
Absolutely.
You know that. It leads to people disconnected from their disorder, disconnected from their treatment, depression that can be enhanced by living with a chronic disease. Isolation leads to poor health outcomes. So the fact that this retreat, just if it did nothing else, brought these women together and made them help them realize they're not alone.
Yes.
Once a year, it would already be impactful. But I think if you listen to the series, you're going to hear a lot of other impacts. It's super powerful, and I'm just very, very proud that we're putting it out. Thank you for coming in and talking about it. Where can people find it?
Absolutely. People can find it if you go to bloodstreampod.com, click on Empowering Women. You can find all the episodes there. And if you're a podcast listener, you can find it anywhere you listen to your other podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, all the hot spots.
All right. Heather Robb, director and producer of Empowering Women.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Thanks for coming in. Who are you?
I am Emma Gould, and I am the co-creator of Lights, Camera, Advocate, this new project we are working on.
What does Lights, Camera, Advocate?
It's an opportunity for young teens in the bleeding disorders community to be able to advocate for themselves or other community members that say, and just be able to like shoot a little advocacy video to show how hemophilia affected them positively in a way and how it changed their life for the better.
So what is E2AC doing?
Well, we are going to be giving five young teens $500 grants to be able to shoot their videos. We will also be giving out any help needed in the video production or assistance or distributions that we have.
It sounds like an incredible opportunity. Can I ask on just a personal level, like, why does this interest you?
I was given the opportunity to be able to be a part of this project, and I was like, hey, why not? It's something I wanted to help advocate when I was younger, and why not help other kids speak up, you know?
So I should point out, you're 16 years old and a community member. So you said when you're younger, you advocated, you advocate now and are kind of taking it to the next level with this project. Is that something that's important to you, or why do you see advocacy as important?
Because hemophilia has affected my life so much, like not even having it as bad as my brothers do. But having that, it's really changed my life. And I don't want people to see it. It's since I've had it so long, I don't want people to just see it as a negative. I want them to take that and turn it into like a positive and be like, it's not always this bad. It's not always about bleeds or getting hurt or having to go to the hospital and deal with insurance and doctors all the time. You know, I want them to take that and be like, yes, this is bad, but I can take this and make something good out of it, so it's not always bad. Always, always, always bad.
So where can people find more information about Lights, Camera, Advocate?
We have a website, e2ac.org. Will be a tab for Lights, Camera, Advocate, and you just click on that, and it'll have all the info you need, submission form. And you can also check out our social media. It's E2AC. I just type it in the little search bar.
Perfect. And that's on Facebook and...
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Brilliant. All right, e2ac.org. Click on Lights, Camera, Advocate to find more information. Emma, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Rob Bradford.
Hey, how's it going?
Who are you? Tell me a little bit about what you're working on.
My name is Rob Bradford, and I am the lead producer at Believe Limited, and I also was the producer on Bombardier Blood, which is what I'm here today to talk about.
But more than the producer, right? Didn't you actually go to Mount Everest?
I did go to Mount Everest. I was the producer and shooter on location with Chris at base camp, and so I was there for 2 months.
Yeah, the only Believe team member who could actually go above like 8 or 10,000 feet. You were at 19,000 feet and change for 2 straight months, right?
Yeah, and also the only Believe team member willing to sleep outside in the cold for 2 months. Yeah,
for 2 nights, really.
Yeah,
but also for 2 months.
Yeah, anywhere between 1 night and 2 months.
So tell me a little bit about Bombardier Blood, the film, and then how people can engage with it.
So Bombardier Blood, if you're unaware, is a documentary we've been working on following a hemophiliac mountaineer, Chris Bombardier, and his historic mission to raise awareness of the disparity of care for people with bleeding disorders living in the developing world by summiting Mount Everest, as well as all the world's seven summits.
So Chris today is the executive director of Save One Life, the nonprofit that he has now partnered with Lori Kelly, a community legend, to take over and grow. Is now dedicating his life to the mission that he started on this Seven Summits journey. The Seven Summits, for people who don't know, are the tallest peak on each of the seven continents. And Chris, in an effort to raise awareness, summited all seven, and the film tracks his biggest, most challenging climb to summit Mount Everest, and then subsequently his climb of Mount Vincent. It's an extraordinary film, and I'm super proud that it's finally coming out. So where can people see it?
We're having community screenings for the bleeding disorders community all across the country. We have places like New York, Los Angeles booked, but also every city in between. There are tons of screenings going on this year. And if you go to bombardierblood.com and click on screenings, you can go and see our constantly evolving list.
Awesome. And you can also find information on Bombardier Blood on our social media properties, mm-hmm. So on Facebook, on Instagram.
Twitter.
Yeah, check it out.
Absolutely.
What kind of feedback has the film been receiving?
The community screenings so far have been really impactful. There's been lots of happy tears. Happy tears, I should say. We've been actually passing out tissues to great effect during these screenings.
What's the message of the movie?
The message of the film, one, is just to highlight the disparity of care between the developed world and people in the developing world with bleeding disorders, and the fact that 50% of people born with bleeding disorders in the developing countries die before age 10. Chris's mission as well in showing the film is to, you know, get people thinking about what their Everest is. You know, not everyone, even without any sort of condition, should be climbing Mount Everest, certainly. But everyone does have their Everest, you know, their own personal challenge. And Chris's, you know, really endearing message in this film is to tackle yours.
Amazing. Rob's pretty humble. So I want to make a point that the footage is extraordinary. And like the stuff that you captured alone on Mount Everest with Chris is stunningly beautiful, shot in HD, just, you know, above and beyond anything that I think we've ever seen in the community.
Yeah, thank you.
To highlight his climb and his mission.
Those interested in more information about Chris and Save One Life, I definitely encourage you also going over to saveonelife.net. There are many opportunities for people at any sort of price range to get involved and to help out people in the bleeding disorders community all across the developing world who could really, really use your support. I drive a 15-year-old car and I'm still able to afford to sponsor kids. So I highly recommend you check them out, saveonelife.net.
Excellent. And the website again for the film is bombardierblood.com. Click on screenings when you get there and you'll see Rob at any one of these screenings because he's the only one.
One of these screenings.
He's the only one who knows how to work the projector. So yeah. Rob will be at these screenings to do Q&As afterwards. Chris may be at some, but check out the website. Check out some screenings.
Please check out the website. Check out some screenings. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah. Bye, Ryan.
Bombardier Blood, I should say, was sponsored exclusively by Octapharma, who gave us incredible support to go and make this film and to make Chris's climbs of Everest and Mount Vincent possible. We owe them a huge debt of gratitude, and I hope you'll thank them as well after you see this awesome film. That's bombardierblood.com. So with me now is Amy Board, former executive director of the Colorado chapter of NHF, and now the newest Believe Limited and Bloodstream Media team member.
That is correct.
Welcome, Amy.
Welcome, Ryan.
So what project are you quarterbacking at the moment?
Well, I am one of the producers, along with the majority of the team, working on the newest program that we have coming out of Believe, which is the Science Fair that is going to be held at the Bleeding Disorder Conference coming up here in the fall in Anaheim.
Amazing. So what is the Science Fair?
So the Science Fair was born out of the idea that, you know, right now in the community and the culture of hemophilia and other bleeding disorders, treatment is starting to shift in a way that is making us start to look at how we treat our kids, how we treat ourselves, and the questions are really starting to spiral into more complex and bigger ideas. And so the Science Fair was really born out of that old school, middle school Science Fair idea where we can really hone in on the actual science of not only the treatment, but bleeding disorders in particular. And so this is, to be completely honest, it's the coolest idea I've heard in a long time. I think that it's going to be truly an experience for everybody that attends the Bleeding Disorder Conference in Anaheim. It's going to be visual. It's going to be something that will, I think, propel some of those questions that are really important. So we're excited about it.
Where can people learn more about the Science Fair?
Our sponsor, Spark, actually is releasing a press release today announcing how excited they are about it. And we are also starting to rev that engine with social media. And the website was launched today as well at thesciencefair.org. So you guys can check that out. And it will start, obviously, building momentum as we get closer to the conference.
Fantastic. And I should just say Spark is our current sponsor, but it is a multi-sponsor project. And over the course of this year And next, as we grow the program, we will be looking for additional sponsors, because the general excitement around this idea, I think people are ready for a contrast to the exhibit hall experience.
Yep.
Because the exhibit hall experience, while it offers a way to get excited and learn a little bit about each company, the ability for families and young people especially to like really use their hands to have a tactile experience to understand the science of bleeding disorders and the future science of bleeding disorders is unique. And I think it's going to be pretty powerful. So other sponsors, if you're out there, give us a call.
Absolutely. Yes, please.
The website again is thesciencefair.org. And we have launched today. Sign up on the website for more information. Keep an eye out on social media, because you'll be hearing a lot about this in the coming months. And we'll see you at NHF BDC, where you can find us attached to the exhibit hall.
We're very excited about it.
Thanks for coming in, Amy.
Absolutely.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Patrick James Lynch. I'm your partner at Believe Limited, actually, and the CEO of the company and the host of the Bloodstream podcast.
Awesome. What project are you here to talk about today?
Today, for World Hemophilia Day, I am here to talk about the Teen Impact Awards. Have you heard of it?
I have. It sounds amazing.
It is amazing. It's a program that is now in its fifth year. And it's pretty simple. It's a night where we, during NHF's Bleeding Disorders Conference, honor teens affected by bleeding disorders. That's teens living with, or the siblings of teens living with bleeding disorders, who are doing impactful work in their home, school, or community. And we celebrate them during the biggest meeting of the year, and then all year round through our presence on social media and online.
That's amazing. And why was this created? Like, what gap did it fill?
The Teen Impact Awards is all about recognizing and celebrating teens who are doing great things. And I think it's so important for teens who have bleeding disorders to be recognized for the great things they're doing. Because when you're someone who has any kind of chronic disease, you face challenges that your peers in school and the average population just don't. So it makes your effort to go above and beyond to make life at home, in your school, in your community a little bit better, it makes that effort all the more worthy of recognition. And at the time that we started doing this, there just wasn't like that spot in the calendar where the young people in our community were recognized for all the great stuff they're doing. You know, so often we ask them for their attention and we want to know more about bleeds or how they're doing with this, come to this meeting, get involved in this thing. But we don't stop to just appreciate who they are and what they're doing. And that's what the Teen Impact Awards does.
Phenomenal. And who hosts it? What is the event like?
So it's often hosted by me or other members of Believe Limited, and we have co-hosts and guest presenters, people like Josh Gordy and Nicole Scappi and Chris Bombardier, names that will be pretty familiar to listeners of the podcasts. And it's styled after an award show. So it kind of has the look, feel, and vibe of, say, like the Emmys or the Oscars. You have people in gowns and suits, and there's this element of polish to it. Yeah, so it kind of feels like you're at like this really cool special award show, which actually you are.
It's pretty incredible to see the teens and their families come and extended families come and celebrate and cheer for each other. And you do get the sense that these teens especially would be doing what they're doing with or without recognition.
Oh, for sure.
But that it's pretty awesome to be recognized in this way. And I think the other thing that I always take away from it is how aspirational it must be. So if you're 10 years old and you see a 15-year-old from your chapter being honored in this way and taking it seriously and coming and talking on stage about what they've done and why they do it, I think that probably influences a lot of young people that we haven't been able to recognize yet because they haven't aged into the program. But I think the ripple out is pretty strong.
Yeah, I agree. And I like how over the years we've structured into the Teen Impact Awards what I kind of think about as this ladder of impact and advocacy, because our focus is on our teens, right? Those are the honorees of the evening. And then we have all these folks in their 20s and 30s who are kind of responsible for running the event and recognizing these individuals, and they're kind of the leaders of the night, so to speak. And then we have the parents of all the teens and the family members who are 40s, 50s, 60s. And then, as you mentioned, there's the little kids. We have the MYLIers from NHF, I meant to mention. So it's 18 to 25-year-olds who are on this leadership track. And this has become a staple part of the MYLI experience at NHF, participating in the Teen Impact Awards. So there's this neat ladder or legacy of leadership that the program has evolved into, but again, all built around recognizing the incredible things that these young folks would be doing with or without the recognition.
So where can family members, HTC staff, chapter leadership, where can people connect with the Teen Impact Awards now?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned like all those different populations, because the way that we recognize the teens we do is through nominations. And the nominations come from family members, they come from friends, they come from chapter volunteers, staff, camp staff, HTC, anybody in the community. We have a website, teenimpactawards.com. And right there in the next like month or so, sometime next month, we're going to launch our nominations for the 2019 program, the fifth annual program at teenimpactawards.com.
Fantastic. And if you sign up on the website, you'll get an intro email from us. You'll get updates as we go when the program launches, when nominations are made, when selections are made, and updates about the program throughout the year. So I think that's the best place for people to visit.
And if you're on social media, we're all over the various channels as well. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you'll find the Teen Impact Awards. So if you'd prefer to kind of interact with us that way, you'll find us there too, and you'll get all the big announcements there too.
That's awesome. So keep an eye out for teens in your community who would be deserving of this incredible honor.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's like they do the cool stuff. It's up to us to recognize them and to take 5 minutes to pause and submit something that recognizes them for the cool stuff they do. So if you can, take a moment, think about the teens you've seen, especially those who are maybe doing it on a quieter level. So this is my quick pitch for keeping an eye out for, just like at camp, you know, there's those kids who are out in front and they're loud. And when you're thinking of like superlatives or awards at the end of the week, it's really easy to think of like six for Jeremiah because he's just out in front of everything. But then if you stop and think about, you know, Luke is always kind of quiet, but he's always helping out his cabin mate with this thing. He's always setting the table before meals. He's always cleaning up when we leave the adventure zone area. Like, someone's got to pay attention to what Luke's doing too, even though it's not so loud. And the same is true with the Teen Impact Awards. If you know of a teen in your community who's doing something great, especially if it's something that other people won't necessarily know to stop and pause and recognize, nominate them for a Teen Impact Award.
Fantastic. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, man. Thanks for doing this.
And we should say the Teen Impact Awards are made possible for the fifth year in a row by Takeda. Well, previously by Baxter, Baxalta, Shire, and now Takeda. But, you know, Takeda. We're incredibly grateful. They step up and make sure that these teens have a place to be honored, like Patrick said. And yeah, we just wanted to say thank you. So you've heard from so many Believe team members on all the cool projects that we're working on this month especially, and I just want to say thank you again for listening. We wanted to do a special episode that didn't quite run as long as Bloodstream and that gave us a way to get out the information about all these incredible community programs, because each one touches on such a different and unique aspect and demographic within the bleeding disorders community that we just thought this would be the best way to kind of run through everything and put it all in front of you. If you didn't have a chance to write anything down, if you're out walking the dog or listening on the treadmill or while driving in the car, don't worry. You can visit the website www.bloodstreampod.com and all the links will be there waiting for you. Happy listening and happy World Hemophilia Day.